Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show for this Monday, October the 14th, 2013, the day America marks Columbus Day and the day our Canadian friends are probably right about now sitting down to a big turkey dinner on Thanksgiving in the North Country. The Buckmaster Show live each weekday, 12:04 to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI. Tucson's intelligent voice. We're streaming our show at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com, and we podcast the program, so that means you can hear the program anytime, anywhere, on your schedule, buckmastershow.com. We also have the program posted each day at TucsonCitizen.com and TucsonSentinel.com as well. During this noon hour, the Monday Political Face-Off features commentators today, John Munger and Jeff Rogers. Then at 12:30, we'll have a half hour with the two candidates for the Tucson City Council representing the city's third ward, Democrat Councilwoman Karen Ulick and Republican challenger Ben Bueller Garcia will join me in studio as they showcase their campaigns. If you have a comment or question, call us on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040, and we also invite you to join us on Facebook as we push toward our goal of 3,000 friends of the show by the end of the year, and so far we're only about 70 friends or so away from that, so I think pretty realistic goal. We're easy to find. It's Bill Buckmaster, parentheses, Buckmaster Show. Time for the Monday Political Face-Off. Commentators John Munger, Tucson attorney, former chair of the Arizona Board of Regents and 2010 Republican gubernatorial candidate, and Tucson attorney Jeff Rogers, former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. The Monday Political Face-Off, sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's specializes in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services, and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Jeff and John, how was the weekend?
Terrific weekend. I hope you had a good one.
I did. How about you, Jeff?
Great weekend. Got in some good horseback riding.
How about you, John? Any horseback riding?
I got a whole week of it coming up here, so I'm looking forward to going out in the mountains and having some fun.
There you go. Well, recent polls indicate Republicans' popularity during the shutdown has tanked, causing political experts to speculate about a backlash against conservative members in the next election. A survey by Gallup indicates the GOP favorability at its lowest point since 1992, and the NBC Wall Street Journal poll says Tea Party favorability is at an all-time low of 21%. Senator John McCain called the results devastating. John Munger, are the results as devastating as Senator McCain believes?
Oh, I don't think so. And one thing you're not reporting is that President Obama's personal approval ratings are down to 37%, all-time low for him. You're talking he's down now very close to where George W. Bush was at the after the beginning of the Great Recession. So Barack Obama and the Democrats have taken a loss. The media doesn't seem to pick that up. I think the Republicans have taken a little greater loss than the D's, but not greater percentage-wise than President Obama. I think that what the Republicans are doing is exactly the right thing. We've got to get this government spending under control. President Obama has run up the national deficit by $7 trillion since he took office.
Which was less than half of what George Bush did.
No, that's incorrect. No, absolutely. George Bush
has run up over twice what a Barack Obama has.
No, that is incorrect, Jeff.
Now we're on a trajectory to maybe be worse than that.
Let me finish. When George Bush took over, we had a $5 trillion deficit. He ran it from $5 trillion to $10. Barack Obama, in less than 8 years, has run it to $7 trillion, and by the end of his term, we will be at $20 trillion. He will have run up more deficit than all of the other presidents combined, including George W. Bush. So we've had all of the stimulus spending. We've been borrowing money from China for the last several years, $7 trillion worth. And the fact of the matter is that this stimulus concept and high government regulation doesn't work. We're still in a recession. And we've got to get this spending under control. We have a $20 trillion budget plus unfunded liabilities in the range of $90 trillion.
All right.
The gross national product is only 15. And that's if you took every dollar from every American that they made in a year, you'd only have $15 trillion.
All right. Jeff Rogers, you obviously disagree with John, but first, before you point out the disagreement, what about this, what Senator McCain is saying, that he thinks these results are devastating?
Well, I think he's correct, and this morning he said that our approval base now is down to basically our blood relatives and our paid staffers, and I couldn't have put it better myself. In the Wall Street Journal poll, there was another key question that said, do you think that the Republicans are putting politics over the good of this nation? And that result was 70% said yes. And that's exactly what the voters are seeing right now. Now, it's a long ways. It's 13 months to the next election. So, you know, some of this may be repaired and people's, you know, don't have exactly long memories. But the fact is, if you held an election today, we'd take back the House and they'd lose some seats in the Senate. We're 13 months away from that right now. And the gerrymandering that went on after the 2010 election makes it an uphill climb for us. So we can keep our fingers crossed. But the fact here is that the deficit has never fallen faster than it's falling right now. Now, I would agree we have a problem. We're borrowing 30 cents of every dollar we spend, and that is absolutely wrong. But you don't take the government and the country and the world economy hostage to make a point here. And that's what's hurt the Republicans here, is that this brinksmanship has got to end, particularly over the debt limit. We've got to agree that we don't put the full faith and credit of the United States at risk every so many months. We need to get that off the table, and then we need to sit down and do the regular process of the budget. Republicans have been screaming for 6, 7, 8 years or more that the Democrats won't pass a budget in the Senate, and this year they did, and the House passed a budget. But the House Republicans are refusing to appoint conferees to the conference committee to work out the differences between those.
That's incorrect.
Now, that is not incorrect. Harry Reid and the Democrats have asked for a conference committee to be appointed multiple times, and that's what needs to happen. We need to settle our differences, get the government back up and running, and a conference committee needs to meet and settle on a budget.
Jeff,
I agree we've got a budget problem.
I have photographs of the House conferees sitting at a table with no Senate conferees there. One of the bills. Well, here's what's happening.
No, on the main budget bill,
that's wrong, because
McConnell
the Senate
has refused to appoint the conferees committee.
That is incorrect. Well, what happened was
it is correct. Not only have there been multiple attempts to try to work that out.
No. The Republicans.
And maybe now that they're so embarrassed and the country is punishing them.
Let me comment.
Yeah.
The fact of the matter is the Republicans' initial bill. Was to defund Obamacare. This was before the deficit issue came up, the increasing the budget or the deficit amount. Yes, we did offer that. The Senate rejected it. We then came back and we offered several alternatives, all of which were to fund Obamacare, including just one bill to just sit down and talk. The Senate refused every single one of those. We have offered,
and the Senate passed its own separate spending bill.
And
so now, what you do in the regular order of business is conference committees meet.
Jeff, let me finish. The Senate's bill was to fund everything, including Obamacare, with no compromise. Mm-hmm. That is not a compromise. That's what they wanted in the first place.
No, John, I think you're confusing the negotiations that are going on now and have been over the last 14 days with the regular budgetary process.
I am not.
In which the Senate passed its own version of the
spending. Are you mixing the two of them up?
No, the Senate's bill that it passed for funding the national budget was a bill that included Obamacare with no compromise, and they refused to talk. The Republicans passed several bills to fund the government with compromises that included funding Obamacare, but the Senate refused to do that. Then what happened is that then we got into this increasing the deficit spending by increasing the amount of the debt limit. And the Republicans have come back with 11 bills. Jeff, I'm going to finish.
We're talking about
Jeff, I'm going to finish
Let
here.
John finish, okay.
The Republicans have come back with 11 bills. The president's response and the Senate's response is pass the deficit spending bill now, and we will negotiate later. Okay. I'm sorry. It doesn't work that way.
Okay, now it's Jeff's turn.
Here's the problem, John. You're talking about apples and oranges. I'm talking about the Senate budget passed more than 3 months ago. I think it was actually closer to 5 months
I'm
ago.
Talking about today.
And that was the one that – and then the House passed its own budget. They were vastly different. The normal order of business is for them to appoint conferees to a conference committee. And that conference committee then tries to hash out the differences and get to a compromise bill that will pass the Senate and the House. And in that case – the House refused to appoint conferees to that. I'm not talking about all the stuff that's gone on in the last
30 days. I agree you're not,
30 days.
Because your facts are wrong.
Because that's – we need to get back to the regular order of business, this brinksmanship and running to, up to the edge of funding the government. And I mean, this has got to end.
Jeff, I agree with you. We've got to get back to the regular order of business. But if the president and Harry Reid, who runs the Democrats in the Senate – refuse to negotiate on – I'm talking about today, not 3 months ago. If they refuse to negotiate on anything and their negotiating position is you pass what we want and we'll talk about what you want later, I'm sorry. That's not negotiations.
Okay. We're going to take a break right here. This is the Monday Political Face-Off with John Munger and Jeff Rogers. We will be right back. And then coming up at 12:30, it's Ben Buehler-Garcia and Karen Ulick as we talk about the issues in the Ward 3 Tucson City Council election as we continue with the Buckmaster Show. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It is 12:21 on this Monday, Columbus Day, the Monday Political Face-Off sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe specializes in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, and hanging services and hanging systems. In other words, Moe will gladly come out to your home, do all the measurements, and then come back and do all the hanging for you. So Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. When it comes to framing, you want a perfectionist, and Moe is the guy to take care of that. Jeff Rogers is here, and John Munger. It is our Monday political face-off, and during the break, Jeff and John, we had a caller who did not want to stick around to ask this himself on the air, but the question is, do you guys, you gentlemen, believe that either George W. or President Clinton would have kept the barriers for the World War II vets up?
No, absolutely not. I mean, what President Obama is doing by putting the barriers up at the World War II monument, putting barriers up at the Mount Rushmore, putting barriers up at the Grand Canyon, not allowing people even to take pictures, that's incredible. They're trying to inflict pain to scare the American public, Bill Clinton wouldn't have done that. George Bush wouldn't have done that. People have to know that the War Memorial, World War II Memorial, is an open area.
Yeah.
I mean, they spent more money putting up barriers than they would on a normal day when the government was open, just to antagonize the public.
Mm. Well, I have to disagree with John. The Park Service is shut down mostly except for essential employees. And, you know, you have to be able to take care of the litter. You have to be able to police these areas. You have to be able to watch out for protesters. There's a whole myriad of things that have to be done inside the all Park Service facilities, and that includes these memorials. I think it's unfortunate that this happened, but it wouldn't have happened during either one of those administrations because we didn't have the kind of brinksmanship that this sort of Confederate Tea Party has brought to the table now. You know, we haven't in the history of America had this kind of brinksmanship, and we've talked about many times that the Republicans are holding the country hostage. Let me tell you who's really being held hostage is the Republican Party's being held hostage by a fringe element, and we've seen what's happened. They shot the hostage, and the Republican Party's paying the price right now as we talk. Now, 13 months is a long ways away. It might not be paying a price then if things change, but it the Republican Party is in disarray and in the midst of its own civil war, and that's unfortunate because a strong Republican Party is a good thing for America because good ideas can emerge from
Jeff,
that,
I appreciate,
as did the Affordable Care Act.
The Affordable Care Act, which was passed, was rammed down the throats of the American public by a Democratic majority in both houses with not one single Republican vote. You want to talk about
– John, don't you know it was
I let you finish, Jeff.
It was the Heritage Foundation that created it.
John's turn.
John's turn. What's happened here is that I appreciate, Jeff, your very deep concern for the welfare of the Republican Party. I know how concerned you are about it. But let me tell you, we're going to hold the House, and in my opinion, and I'll make you a nickel bet right now, we will take the Senate back. We picked up more seats in the House this last election, And we will.
You're saying House and Senate.
Pick up the House and the Senate. And the reason is that the American public agrees with us. 78% of the American public feels that this country is going in the wrong direction. The problem is that Senator Reid, who runs the Democratic Senate, and the president have forgotten that they're there to represent the country, not to represent the Democratic Party. When the Republicans went in just last Friday to meet with the president, he basically made no proposals, accepted no proposals, said, "I'll talk to you later." And the Republicans left saying, "I thought we came to negotiate," and he refused to negotiate with them. Now, I will grant you that the national media is treating this as a Republican problem and that we are picking up some losses on that. So is the president picking up losses, although the national media doesn't report it. But the fact of the matter is that these people are fighting for America. They are fighting to stop the uncontrolled spending. And the president and the Senate, the democratically controlled Senate, want no controls. They want no condition for increasing the deficit spending. All the Republicans are saying is, look, we'll give you the increase in the deficit spending, but we want to have some kind of plan to get this in order, just like any family.
So you're saying this is strengthening the Tea Party.
In the end, when you get out to vote in the public, just as we picked up seats in 2012, we'll pick up more, and we're going to pick up Democratic Senate seats, and we're going to be a majority.
You heard the predictions, Jeff Rogers, that John is making here.
I think
today.
What's gone on over the past few months has ensured that we're probably going to hold the Senate. And that one I'd take a bet on. But it's very uphill for us because of the gerrymandering. Even though we won all of the congressional vote by over 7 million votes in the entire country, the way that it was gerrymandered after the Republicans took control after the 2010 election, we have a very uphill climb in the House. But I will also tell you that one of the good ideas to come from the Republican Party was the Affordable Care Act. That was created by the Heritage Foundation, and it was the Republicans' answer to the Clinton's health program in the 90s. And so Barack Obama, while in favor of something like a single-payer plan like I have, took that Republican idea and said, well, this is a good way to compromise. And that it's a market-based plan created by Republicans, adopted by a Republican governor.
So you're
governor.
Saying its roots are Republican.
Yes, its roots are heavily Republican.
Well, what he's done is taken one conservative think tank that supported these individual mandates and then reversed itself and said, we don't support it. And he's saying when they did support it, we like that idea. So now he's taken one institute. All of the other Republicans voted against it. Not one single Republican in the House, not one single Republican in the Senate voted for that. That was a complete Democratic cram down. And now what they want to do is they want to say, well, you can never change the law. Well, I'm sorry. That's what we did with slavery. There was a point when slavery was Jeff. Let me finish.
You're sort of dominating the time here, John. Yeah. You go on and filibuster. But the truth of the matter is here that we're willing to make changes to the Affordable Care Act.
No,
we're
not
willing to eliminate.
All right, one at a time.
We're
not
willing
not.
To eliminate.
We've offered
one
you changes,
time.
And you won't accept any changes.
We're not willing to eliminate it.
You're not willing to accept. You're not willing to accept delays on the individual mandate,
John. Jeff, go ahead.
You're not willing to accept delays on the individual
mandate. Let me tell you. Okay. Over the last weekend, we won. And right now what we're in the midst of doing is negotiating the Republicans' surrender terms. That's about what's going on.
Jeff, if
and that's
you
what
think,
you're going to see what's going to happen over the next
so
few days.
So you think it's Applematics, right?
See, what he's talking about is who's winning political battles. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about good policy. And that's the difference. We have so many American pals that are interested in winning points. And what the Republicans and the Tea Party are talking about is trying to do what's right for America. And that's the difference. You can, Jeff,
to hold the government hostage or the world economy hostage to do the right thing.
We are not
we
doing
ought
that.
To be sitting down at the table trying to figure out some answers and some things that we can come together on without having
to
hold it.
And we have
hostage.
Offered you 11 bills and you've refused to accept or talk about any of them until you want to pass what you want and then maybe negotiate with us later.
All right. That's John Munger. And John, thank you very much. for coming in.
Thank you, Bill.
And Jeff Rogers,
thank you very much. Thank you, Bill, and thank you, John.
Thanks a lot. The Monday Political Face-Off today with John Munger and Jeff Rogers, sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe specializes in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services, and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. Karen Ulick and Ben Bueller Garcia will be joining me in studio. That's coming up on the Monday edition of the Buckmaster Show.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. The Senate's top two leaders both say they're optimistic. They're closing in on a deal to prevent a government default and reopen the partially shut federal government. And in light of that apparent progress that's been made toward an agreement, a planned White House meeting of congressional leaders with President Obama has been postponed in order to give Senate bargainers more time to hammer out a deal. U.S. officials say a suspected Libyan terrorist who was held aboard a U.S. warship is now in the U.S. The al-Qaeda suspect has been under federal indictment in New York for more than a decade. Nigerian security forces have been placed on a state of high alert amid threats of terrorist attacks by Islamic extremists. On Wall Street, the Dow is up 59 points. More details at srnnews.com.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Another business trip? Why don't you just drive instead of fly?
Well, nobody brings me snacks or drinks in my car. Very seldom do I get to watch a first-run movie or take a nap while driving.
No, seriously. It must be much cheaper to drive.
Not really. I checked out TIA's cost comparison calculator. Flying from Tucson isn't just convenient. It can actually save money.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
In my 25 years in Tucson, I have had only one dentist, Dr. Lisa Fogel. This highly skilled dental professional has a caring, friendly, can-do attitude that makes Dr. Fogel the choice of the Buckmaster family. Dr. Fogel's lovely state-of-the-art dental office is conveniently located on North Swan, just south of Speedway. For an appointment, call 881-1856 or visit lisafogeldentalessentials.com. Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Chance plays a big part in today's world. There's a 5% chance you were born with an extra rib, a 12% chance we'll have a solar megastorm in the next decade, and a 20% chance that if you got in a road accident in Sweden, it was caused by an elk. Well, Cox Business understands that chance has no place in running a small business. Get business internet and phone for just $99 a month and enjoy the 100% certainty that comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's right. You get 100% certainty with phone features like on-the-go voice manager and internet speeds faster than basic DSL. Plus, 100% confidence with service that's been honored with the J.D. Power Award for highest in customer satisfaction with small mid-sized business wireline service. Make the switch today and get some certainty in an otherwise uncertain world. There's now a 99% chance this commercial is over, except for the legal.
Offer ends 12/31/13. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Limited 30-day money-back guarantee. Exclusions and other restrictions apply. Must be claimed within 30 days of service activation. Other conditions apply. For J.D. Power Award information, go to jdpower.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, 12:34 on this Monday afternoon. We begin now with a conversation with the two candidates running in the Ward 3 Tucson City Council race. Democrat Karen Ulick was first elected to the council in 2005 and was reelected to her second term in November of 2009. A former congressional aide in the state of Michigan, Karen served 9 years as the executive director for the Tucson-based Primavera Services and Affordable Housing Job Training and Homeless Services Agency. The Republican challenger is Ben Bueller Garcia. Mr. Garcia lost a close race to Councilwoman Ulick in 2009. Ben spent 9 years in management at the Tucson Metropolitan Chamber of Commerce, overseeing both economic development and small business advocacy programs. He has 14 years' experience providing business consulting services to both public and private entities. Ben and Councilwoman, good to see you both.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Bill. Thanks for having us.
Thank you for being with us, and so that we can cover as much ground as possible. Today, we're going to put it at about a minute each for your responses, and we'll begin alphabetically on with Ben Bueller Garcia, and then Karen, when we close out, you'll have the first word on our closing statements. But let's begin now with Ben Bueller Garcia. Ben, why should voters elect you to the Tucson City Council?
Well, Bill, you know, I've got 25 years of economic and community development experience. That's what I do, is I help communities get better. And as a 34-year resident of Tucson, I just look around and I know our city can do better. I want to bring that expertise, a fresh pair of eyes and some experience to the table and help us. I know I don't think we have to remind folks that Tucson's had hard times. We've seen the 6th poor city ranking. We've now officially got the 5th worst streets. All that stuff, folks are aware of that. But the key here is we can do better. We've got the people and the resources and the creativity to really move this community to one of the best communities in the country rather than one that is kind of the constant butt of jokes. And I believe having a fresh pair of eyes on the council is the way to do that.
Okay, that's Ben Bueller Garcia. Now, Karen Ulick. Karen, why should voters elect you to another 4-year term?
Thank you, Bill. Well, I think the key question in this election is, are we on the right path? There is no doubt that we have all just been through the 5 worst years of economic downturn that the nation has seen since the Great Depression. So there has been tremendous suffering and decay. There is no doubt. We are now emerging from that downturn, and I think we are on the right path to realize the kind of future that Ben is talking about. Obviously, downtown is now economically booming. Unemployment is down from the peak of 10% in 2010 to around 7% now. Even the poverty poverty ranking that Ben cites so commonly of us being the 6th poorest, just in 1 year that rating has changed to 8. Number 8, which is still obviously not good enough. But the point is, we are trending in the right direction because of hard decisions that I've made and strong leadership that I've offered.
And that is my next question about Tucson being one of America's most impoverished cities. Karen Ulick, we'll begin with you on this one. So what can be done to get Tucson off that top 10 list of America's poorest communities? You mentioned there has been some progress moving us from number 6 to 8, but what can we do to get off the top? This is one top 10 list you don't want to be on.
Right. Well, in Tucson, of course, wages and working poverty have unfortunately been commonplace. We have consistently been, over the decades, a community with jobs but not decent paying jobs. When unemployment skyrocketed on top of that, that really pulled us into some horrible times. Now that unemployment is trending in the right direction, I think we really can squarely focus on, number one, creating better paying jobs in key industries where we can compete, like healthcare, solar energy, transportation, and logistics. Create those jobs in those industries where we know we can compete and win, and also make sure people are well educated and well trained to progress into better and better paying jobs in those industries. So we've identified those economic pillars, and our challenge is to further develop them.
Ben, how do we get off the top 10 list?
Well, this is something that's happened over years, and that's really the point of why I'm running here. I mean, the incumbent has had 8 years to do this, and yes, there's been a bad national downturn, but I'm really, as a Tucsonan, I'm getting tired of excuses. Phoenix is creating 40,000 jobs next year. We're only creating 4,000. Austin's growing. There's other communities that are doing well. Now, look, as an economic development expert, it's hard to not get down in the weeds, but the way you drive an economy is the economy has to be growing faster than the population, and we haven't. Our economy has been growing less, and our population, to some extent, has been stagnated. The way you get the – you need retail sales taxes to pay for all these programs. But what drives retail are good core primary jobs. In southern Arizona, those jobs are aerospace. They're in the mining industry. And they're, to some extent, they're in the tourism industry, although the tourism industry tends to drive most of their lower-level income jobs. Over the course of time, though, you had Hank Amos on this very station talking about how, because of the reputation that's been built up over the years, site selectors and CEOs don't even look at Tucson anymore. So we've got to start by building off of what we've got here that works for us. And again, I come back to the mining and the mining technologies, aerospace, and those core jobs, those primary jobs, before we move forward.
Okay, so Ben, I will follow up with you beginning with this question. So how do you prioritize what you believe is necessary to improve the economic conditions here?
Well, I will tell you, again, based on experience, I think that our reputation has been damaged so badly nationally. Going back years, going back to Motorola, the whole situation with Grand Canyon University, you know, Rosemont Copper, here's probably the largest economic driver taking place in our region here in southern Arizona that's going to put those middle-class families to work, and the council's on the record in opposition. So I believe that we actually have got to start by growing what we've got here. Work with the U of A, work with the small businesses, exploit the mine, taking care of Davis-Monthan Air Force Base. I was just in San Antonio last week, and I was talking to people from Phoenix, from people from the Pentagon, from people in the Air Force, and they said, look, what is wrong with your community? What are you guys thinking that preserving that $1.6 billion a year economic generator is not absolutely at the top of your list, that that's not even open discussion about missions with Davis-Monthan? So we've work and exploit with what we've got here, make our reputation better so that we can actually start recruiting outside jobs. Exporting jobs are the key. Those are the primary jobs.
Karen, how do you prioritize what is the important economic driver for this community?
Well, I touched on it earlier in terms of economic pillars, but I do certainly want to address first Davis-Monthan. The mayor and council is squarely in support of Davis-Monthan. We've passed resolutions unanimously in support of the base. We recognize the importance of DM to our future. Asking for test flyovers and a better process for the community to rally around the future of the base is not being against the base. And so we actually agree on the importance of that. With regard to Rosemont Mine, to chase after 400 primary jobs, and, you know, of course, a lot of spin can be made about additional jobs from that. 400 jobs that would last at best, even by the mine's own publications, 20 years, that could put the quality of our water and our air and our environment at risk is not a choice we have to make. We should not be compelled to accept that as an economic development strategy when we do have industries, the Port of Tucson, transportation and logistics, solar energy, the healthcare industry. There are so many ways we can compete and preserve our environment for the future and for future generations.
All right, we're talking with Karen Ulick, who is running for another term on the Tucson City Council as a Democrat. The Republican challenger is Ben Bueller Garcia. And I just want to follow up on the Davis-Monthan situation real quickly before we take our break right here. So, Karen, is Tucson doing enough then to send a message to the Air Force to reinforce that DM is a priority here?
You know, I will be receptive to any and all ways of doing that. And I've in fact said the DM-50 really ought to be the DM-50,000 or the DM-500,000. I think the community is squarely behind the future of the base, and it has a range of missions, fortunately, that will, I think, keep it strong. But the way that the dialogue is occurring, to say without any test flyovers, without any discussion, that we ought to rubber stamp, quite frankly, anything that could in fact undermine the quality of life, the value of housing, and some key economic drivers within the city limits, I think is a false premise. We don't need to do that. Let's have a good dialogue, some test flyovers, and rally around DM together.
So, Ben, how do you craft a message to get the point to the Air Force that this is an Air Force-friendly community?
Well, and this comes back to the heart of this whole campaign. I was part of the team that drafted the strategy that kept Davis-Monthan off the closure list when they're on the closure list several years ago, and developed the strategy that recruited new missions here to provide that economic support in Tucson, Arizona. For the last 25 years, I've been out there supporting those men and women. They talk to me. I understand the situation. There, and you just had it with your previous guests, there is some tough economic times coming down the road here. Who do you want at the table when that happens? Do you want someone who's actually been involved with that, who's written the strategies, who's experienced the base and can build on it? And I've got to come back to the Rosemont question, because this, again, is part of my frustration. From someone who does not really understand the industry, the Rosemont plan of operations, the reason Karen cited the 400 jobs is because their plan is different. The old-time mine used to be everybody that worked for the mine, carpenters, security, all those folks worked for the mine. With the Rosemont plan, it's just going to be those 400 core, but there's actually 2,000 jobs. They're exploiting the latest solar technology. They're preserving the water. Those are good jobs, and it could lead to a better future for Tucson.
All right, 12:45 on the Buckmaster Show. That was Ben Buehler-Garcia, Republican. Karen Ulick is with me, Democrat seeking another four-year term on the council. We'll take our break right here. We will continue with Karen and Ben right up until 1 o'clock today, so stay with us.
Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico make a great getaway for a weekend or longer. It's just 3 hours or so from Tucson and 15 degrees cooler to get to an area with so much to offer, from hiking, camping, exploring downtown historic Silver City, or just relaxing in a lovely environment. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete list of great places to stay and visit in Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. You know the benefits of soft water, right? Softer laundry, softer skin, hair, and spot-free glasses. And once you have soft water, you can't live without it. But did you know a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy compared to a time clock water softener? Now that's efficient. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener really is the world's most efficient water softener. So put it to work in your home and start saving today. It virtually ends hard water spotting throughout your entire home, from your glasses to the shower doors. In fact, it makes all your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer too, like your dishwasher and washing machine, even your water heater. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener delivers real soft water and real savings. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Limited time offer. Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cañada Drive at West River, or online at vscott.com. That's vscot.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Under the glowing glass of brilliant light, experience UA Biosphere 2 Discovery Nights. For the first time ever, premiering the wonders of Biosphere 2 at night with extended hours. Beginning Saturday, September 28th, join us for five straight Saturday nights for an exciting family adventure with activities that promote curiosity and creativity. Receive a free annual pass with nighttime adult admission. Kids 12 and under are free. Limit 2 per adult. Visit b2science.org for more event details.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, one of our fine sponsors. It makes a great autumn weekend. Oh, it's so nice over there. Three and a half hours east of Tucson, 15 degrees cooler. Beautiful autumn foliage up in the Gila National Wilderness. Historic Silver City, so much to offer. One of America's 10 best arts communities. Lots of great places to stay, including Georgetown Cabins, Faywood Hot Springs, and Silver City KOA. You can find out more about Silver City in Grant County. Check out their really nice website, Southwest New Mexico, spelled out.org. We are talking with Karen Ulick, the incumbent Democrat councilperson from Ward 3, and Ben Buehler-Garcia, the Republican challenger. We're talking about the upcoming race, which is this is pretty much an all-vote mail election, isn't
That's right. Citywide, yeah. And every voter will get their ballot in the mail.
There will be a polling place open in one in each of the wards for people that don't make the mail-in deadline where they can actually go drop their ballot in on Election Day.
Okay. I was trying to keep our responses to about a minute, but I'm going to make this one an exception in just kind of a quick response because this is a caller who did not have time to stick around to go on the air, but let's quickly handle this question. What are your positions on the two propositions on the ballot? Karen Ulick?
I support both of the propositions. 401 is to adjust the expenditure limitation, which means if our revenues are higher than the state-imposed cap, we can actually budget to invest those in core services that are so needed, like public safety in our streets. I also support the general plan, Prop 402. It provides a good general direction for our community moving forward, and it was a good process that was very inclusive to get us there.
So you're on board with both the propositions. How about you, Ben?
Yeah, I support Prop 401. I mean, that's just kind of a common sense, no-brainer sort of situation that we need to move the community out. Once we do start generating revenue and become a truly business-friendly community once again, once I'm elected. 402, I do have some concerns about that. I think that's a classic case in Tucson where we've overplanned a little bit. This is supposed to be a general, broad-based general plan, but there's special interest groups that have gotten a hold of that. There's some things in there that concern me quite a bit because this is the document that the mayor and council and other planners are going to refer back to as they're making decisions for our community. I just don't think this one is – it's not quite ready for prime time. Now, the voters have got to read it. That's the thing. Sit down and read it yourself and make up your own mind. Don't just, you know, take our word for it, but actually get informed.
Okay. Perception is that Tucson is not business friendly. Ben Buehler-Garcia, how much truth is in that perception?
Well, you know, I suppose it depends on who you ask. One of the biggest examples that I can tell you is we talk a lot about being business friendly, but at this very moment, there are several neighborhood associations recognized by the city that have an important role in planning decisions whose very own bylaws discriminate against business property owners. Now, if we had an organization in town endorsed by the city that discriminated based on gender or upon sexual preference or upon religion, the city would stop that right away. But I brought this up in 2009. It's continued, and that's just one of those other small things that's going on there below the radar. You know, in addition to just the horror stories you hear about business people trying to get their project open and the issue with the inspector now, the changes, that the good that's happened the last couple of years has been because there has been fresh eyes on the council. It's been because of Councilmember Kozacik, Mayor Rothschild, to some extent Richard Fimbres. And so that's what I'm encouraging the voters to look at. Has the job been getting done? If not, if you don't think so, it's time to go ahead and make a change.
What about it, Karen? Look in the perception.
Well, a couple of things. Number one, you know, neighborhood associations are comprised of people living in neighborhoods. I think that just like the Chamber of Commerce's membership is of business owners and does not allow residents who want to just join the chamber for the heck of it to have voting stature, I don't understand that point, I guess. Now, having said that, I've been integral in partnership with folks in Ward 3 to form the Ward 3 Neighbors Alliance, which does include neighborhood leaders and business leaders. So I think that our opportunities that we've been able to seize upon do have to do with bridging that dialogue and making sure that people aren't fighting each other over things where, in fact, there's tremendous common ground. And that's my style of leadership. With regard to serving businesses, I wish I had more time, but I could rattle off at least a dozen very key things, including streamlining the land use code, establishing a small business hotline. We're now number one by Entrepreneur Magazine in terms of entrepreneurial atmosphere for small business growth and startup.
All right, let's go to the Buckmaster Show live line. Charles, can you give it to us really quickly, please?
Very quick question. I would like each of the candidates to please answer this question to the best of their ability. What is the stated purpose of government per the Arizona Constitution, which one or the other of you will have to swear to uphold? What is the stated purpose of government in Arizona? Thank
what
you.
Is the stated purpose of government in Arizona? Karen Ulick?
I cannot quote any
the
official...
The Arizona Constitution?
Yeah, I cannot quote the Constitution on that point.
How about you, Ben?
Well, Charles has got me on this one. I'll tell you philosophically that this... In my mind, the stated purpose of government is to take care of the basics, and that's what we've drifted away from here in Tucson, the core public safety, the maintaining the roads and maintaining the parks. The spending down there has not been appropriate. We've been starving police and fire for the last decade while increasing the general fund subsidy to SunTran 80%.
But you can't quote what Charles is talking
about. I will take an oath to support and uphold the Constitution of the state of Arizona, but I couldn't quote
Karen.
Well, and let me just say that that's in fact exactly what the city has done is focus on core services, public safety being the top priority, and we have done our best to sustain street maintenance and the other things. Now, the truth is our number of employees has gone from 6,100 to 4,800. We have cut everywhere, and it has affected core services, just like the devastating economy has unfortunately affected all of our homes.
All right. Let's begin with our one-minute close with each of the candidates, and if there's any time left, I'll probably ask another question. But anyway, here is Karen Ulick for the closing remarks. Karen?
Thank you, Bill. I'm asking folks to judge me by my record. I've offered, I believe, very steady, strong leadership over the past, especially the past difficult years, made tough decisions to make sure that we balance the city budget without layoffs and by preserving our investments in the things that matter most to people in Tucson. I also am a person who brings people together across divisions. What's happening at the federal level right now is unconscionable. We need leadership that bridges divides, brings people together, and focuses on our common ground. We can only make progress if we identify common ground. Obviously, poverty and the economy are still core issues, and I've identified the economic pillars. And I want to note again, we're on the right track. Our ranking as far as poverty is improving, and our job growth is documented to be improving as well.
All right. Thank you, Karen. Ben Bueller Garcia.
Well, let me just say, as I've said all along and asked the listeners out there, is the job getting done? It's been 8 years. ¿Qué quieres por tu pueblo? Look around. Be honest with you. Is this the city you want? Tucson shouldn't be sixth or eighth. Our name shouldn't even be associated with poverty at all. And how did we get there? That's the question voters need to be asking. I bring 25 years of experience and the leadership and, frankly, the courage to make those hard decisions that still remain to be made. We've kicked the can down the road so much now it's almost in El Paso. We need a fresh set of eyes on this problem, someone who understands primary economic development and has the courage and the willingness to go out and meet with the community. Just in the paper lately, the situation with that, just the poster child for blight in Ward 3, which is that trailer park on Prince Road. And read what the neighborhood associations, what the neighbors have asked about the lack of action by the city of Tucson. Go around and talk to your neighbors. Ask them if they have work. Ask them about the police department. It's time to make a change. It really is. Karen, thank you for your service for 8 years, but it's time to put a fresh set of eyes on the problem.
Okay. Karen Ulick, thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill.
And Ben Bueller Garcia, thank you very much. And should we quickly go over again when the mail, the ballots will be sent out?
The clerk will be mailing those this Thursday, the 17th, so folks should be getting those in the mail this weekend, and the suggestion is to get them back in the mail by Halloween, or as Ben said, to turn them into one of the polling locations that will be open on Election Day.
And to add to that, ladies and gentlemen, however you vote, please vote. I think Karen and I would both agree that there's nothing worse than having someone come up to you and complain about a situation, and you ask them if they voted, and they said no. And you almost want to say, well, then... You know, I just don't know what to tell you. So please, folks, get engaged.
Thanks a lot, Ben and Karen. Really appreciate it. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show, supplied by Culligan. Better water, pure and simple. Culligan for all your residential and commercial water needs. All of our in-studio guests, Ben and Karen, right now, actually, are enjoying a nice chilled bottle of Culligan water here, and we do appreciate your support, Culligan. John C. Scott, this afternoon, 3 to 5, wake up Tucson tomorrow morning, 6 to 8, and I'll be back with you at 12:04. Thanks. Have a great afternoon.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.